Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. I'd like for you to turn to the person to your right and tell them God loves you, and then the person to your left and tell them that Jesus loves you. If you would do that, please. You know, sometimes we need to be encouraged. So we try to encourage one another and let them know that God loves them and that Jesus loves them. God loves you, Jesus loves you, and God loves us as we are, and He wants us to be His children and to follow Him. Just a quick announcement here, just a reminder that we might pray for the summer retreat coming up in June the 9th to the 11th. The theme, of course, is Follow Jesus. Brother Randy will be sharing, and contact for registration can be done online or also through e-ming. So please keep that in your prayers. I think now that registration is open, you can start registering online. And don't wait till the last minute. Be the first to register. All right. Today, we're looking at Full of Courage Church, the Church of Tarsus. And these words, sent him off to Tarsus. They sent Paul off to Tarsus. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Well, God, we thank you that you are our Father. By faith, we are God's family. And we thank you that Christ is our head, and by grace we are Christ's body. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is our anointing, and by His power we live. We thank you for the Bible. It is your book, and by inspiration we have the Word of God. We ask you to anoint and open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our minds, that we might hear and understand and receive God's Word. We ask you to anoint and use our hands to do God's will, to anoint and use our feet to walk in God's will, and ask you to anoint and speak your message through your servant. And we ask you to anoint and help your church to be God-seeking, kingdom-praying, connecting with God, caring for others, committing to missions, consecrating to ministry. And we pray all this, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme this year is Christ will build His church. And this is a promise we have from Jesus that He will build His church. And we pray for Him to build His church. We looked at the Acts, that Christ will build His church. And here we see that the Spirit of Christ working through the disciples, the apostles. And the Acts are the Spirit's directing and controlling and empowering ministry as He founded and strengthened the church and caused it to grow. But it's also a time of transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, and from Judaism to the church is coming in. And shows the fulfillment of the Great Commission from witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so the Acts is a continuing work of the Spirit of Christ. It's 28 chapters, but it doesn't stop there. It continues with every generation. And so today we come to the church at Tarsus. Now, if you were to look at this map here, you would see Tarsus, the hometown of Paul, is where he grew up and where he was born. Now, the city of Tarsus was the capital of the Roman province of Caesarea. And Paul says that it was no ordinary city. There was something special about Tarsus. If you were born in Tarsus, you were automatically a citizen of Rome. Now, that made that city very special, and that's how Paul became a citizen of the Roman Empire. It was also important commercial, university, and travel center. Now, the Tarsus church was founded by Paul, and we're going to take a look at that, how that came about. But it represents to us full of courage church. Now, Tarsus means winged or feathered. Reminds me of the Isaiah chapter 40. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. And those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. He encourages us. He gives us strength. Now, I have to share with you a little bit. This is my grandson, Caden. Friday night, he began T-ball. Now, I don't know if you know anything about baseball. There's big league baseball, of course, the Royals. And then there's little league baseball. And then before little league, you have T-ball. All right? T-ball is 4 or 5 year olds. Tomorrow, he turns 4 years old. So he just made it. So it was so fun to watch him play T-ball. They put the ball on top of a little tee, and then they have their bat there, and they're so excited, but this is all new to them. They're learning how to play. They're learning how to swing at the ball on the tee. They have to learn to swing. Sometimes they miss it. Sometimes they hit it. And then when they hit the ball, they have to learn how to run. Run, run, run! And this is a fun thing. They just take off running, whatever direction. They just don't know where to go. And so, run the first! Run the first! And so they run the first, and then they run past first. They keep on going. It's so fun to watch. But it's a learning experience. They're learning how to play baseball. And so T-ball is a very interesting. If you've never been to a T-ball game, you will be thoroughly entertained. Looking here at the life of Paul. The life of Paul, the Apostle Paul, here is a timeline. A.D. 5, he was born. He was born there in Tarsus, a Roman citizen. And then, at the age of 13, he was selected to be a student of Gamaliel, a famous rabbi, a famous teacher in Jerusalem. And so it was quite an honor. 13 years of age, he studied under Gamaliel. And so he grew up learning the law. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Jew of Jews. And under learning the law, he became a Pharisee of Pharisees. And so he was, very educated. And so we see here how he grew up. And then at the age of 30, he became very fervent to the point that he persecuted Christians. He would take Christians, and you saw there in Acts chapter 7, he was there at the stoning of Stephen. And then he continued to persecute the church. And then we saw last week, Easter Sunday, how that on the road to Damascus, he met the resurrected Lord. He met Jesus. And a bright light shone from heaven. And he fell down before that light. And he said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you?" "I am Jesus, who you persecute." And so at that time, he repented. He believed in Jesus. And he was baptized. That vision that he had on the road to Damascus. And then very interesting. You look here. Turn in your Bibles, please. See what happened next to Paul. Look here at Acts 23. I want you to see with me Acts 23. What happened here? Acts 23. Acts 22, verse 3. Acts 22, verse 3. "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Caesarea, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. In fact, I persecuted," verse 4, "the followers of this way, to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. And so he speaks here of what his background. And then turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And look with me at verses 16 and 17. After he saw the Lord, the resurrected Lord, I want you to see verses 16 and 17. Galatians 1. To reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult with any human being. And then verse 17, I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia, and later I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, or Peter, and stayed there with him 15 days. So, you look here, 3 years he was in Arabia. You can think of this as Arabia Seminary, Arabia Bible College. For 3 years, he learned, he studied the Scriptures, and God taught him the Scriptures through the Holy Spirit for 3 years. Remember we looked at Wong Ming Dao, and he spent, I think it was 1 or 2 years, just every day studying the Scriptures. Now, some people, God leads them to go to Bible college, and that's great, or to a seminary to learn the Word of God. If you have that opportunity, that is wonderful. If not, like Paul and like Wong Ming Dao, to study the Word of God and get God's Word in your heart, he did that. And so, he learned the Scriptures, and then he went up for 15 days to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think about this, the life of Paul, and consider this with me. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. And then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of God and encouraged by the Holy Spirit as it increased in numbers. Now, using the T-ball illustration, I want you to think about the life of Paul using this T-ball illustration. You see, Paul, he swung the bat and he missed the ball. He thought, I was born a Jew, of the tribe of Israel. I was born a Jew. Maybe today you're thinking, my parents are Christians. I'm born a Christian. No, that's not how it works. It's got to be in the heart. It's got to be inside, not just outward. So, strike one. And then he swung again. Strike two. I'm a Pharisee. I'm very religious. I know the law. And then he swung again the third time. Strike three. He persecuted the church. He wanted to show how zealous he was. He persecuted the church. And you could say Paul struck out. He struck out. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, the resurrected Lord. And he began to realize, who are you? I am Jesus. And he saw who Jesus was, that he died for our sins, and that he rose again. And to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is to hit the ball. You see, that's what it means to be born again. To confess your sin, to believe in Jesus Christ, is to be born again. And then, after he was born again, to know Christ. Going to first base is to know Christ. To fellowship with other believers and to be encouraged. And so he followed the Lord in baptism, that first step, and become active in the church and learn about the Word of God. And then growing in Christ, going to second base, going in Christ, learning discipleship, what it means to be a follower of Christ. And then next, serving Christ. Whatever, the little things, you're faithful in serving the Lord. And you're going on to learn what it means to minister to others and help others and then sharing Christ, telling others. And Paul learned that. And evangelism. And so he was sent home to his hometown of Tarshish. And there in his hometown of Tarshish, as a young man of 30 years of age, well, 33 at that time, after 3 years in Arabia, 33 years of age, started the church there in Tarshish. Now I want you to see the Spirit of Christ, his commendation. The church enjoyed a time of peace. Now, this peace, of course, we have peace with God. When we confess our sins, we have peace with God, Romans 5:1. And then we have the peace of God that rules in our hearts and our minds. And there was peace with God and peace of God and peace from persecution at that time. And the church was strengthened. So the churches were strengthened in their faith. Colossians 2:7, we are rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. They grew spiritually. It's a growing process. We learn to grow. That's what discipleship is all about. And then the church was living in the fear of God, living in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs tells us much about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, we have a reverence for Him. We have a fear for Him. And then the church was encouraged by the Holy Spirit. You and I are mutually encouraged by each other's faith. We ought to encourage one another. So we tell, God loves you. Jesus loves you. We encourage. Do what you can. Encourage means to infuse courage in someone else. To put courage in someone else. Every day, look at ways that you can encourage someone else. Think about that. How could I encourage my children? How can I encourage my friends or my brother or my sister? How can I put that courage in them? They met Barnabas, and Barnabas was the son of encouragement. Everywhere he went, Barnabas would encourage others. He was called the encourager. I wonder if we would be known as the encourager. That person encourages you. And as a result of this, the church increased in numbers. They had a group numbering about 120. And then the day of Pentecost, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. Day by day, the Lord added to their number. And as we encourage others, as we share the gospel, that's what happens. The Lord adds. He increased. He multiplies. And many who heard the message believed. So we see in chapter 4, the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000 there in the church of Jerusalem. And more women, men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So we need to be encouragers, and to encourage by giving the gospel also. And God will honor that and increase and add. Now, one thing that we can learn from this is we ought to also encourage others. We think of our hometown. I know some of you have come to America, and maybe this has become your home. But you have opportunity to go back and visit China or your hometown. And you ought to go back and encourage your family members. You ought to go back and encourage your old friends and have opportunity to do that. Pray for that opportunity. And Jesus went to His hometown. We're told that Jesus went to His hometown. And he went, and taught in his hometown. He grew up in Nazareth, and he went there and taught. So we can be encouraged to do that. Now, share with you a little bit my hometown. My hometown is in northwest Pennsylvania. And if you were to look at the map there, that red dot, Cochran, Pennsylvania. Never heard of it. It's a little town. 1,200 people. One traffic light. All right? That tells you how big it is. One traffic light. 1,200 people. And in Cochran, it was started in 1855. This small town, 1855. Well, in that same year, 1855, this house was built. This house was built is where I grew up in this house. Since 1855, three families have lived in this house. My father still lives in this house. 1855. So I remember my first year after college. I came back after my first year in college, and I was praying about what should I do for the summer, and the Lord laid upon my heart, you need to go home. You need to go to your hometown. And so I told the pastor of the home church there, this summer I'm going to come home and I will help you whatever you need to help with in the church. And anything I can do to help, just let me know. I want to learn. And so this is when I was 16 or 17. So I was 19 years of age that summer. Came home and learned a lot from just helping out in the church. And we want to encourage our young people when they come back, encourage them that they would come home to their home church and encourage them. You never know how God may work in their lives. Maybe God will call one of these young people here to minister here. So we need to consider, go home. Paul went to his home of Tarshish. And maybe God would call us to go to our home, wherever that might be. Now, there is also a condemnation here. Look at the words here in Luke chapter 4, verses 24. Jesus went to his hometown, but no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Although Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he grew up in Nazareth, but when he went to his hometown, they looked down on him. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verses 55-56. They said here, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? And where then did this man get all these things? And so they looked down upon him. Well, we know what he comes from. This, he's a carpenter's son. Who is he? And so it's difficult to go to our hometown, because they know where we come from. It's difficult to go to our home. But God calls us to go back and to share with our family, share with our friends. They also took offense at him. Look here, continuing there. They took offense, verse 57. We see these words here in Matthew chapter 13. You know, they took offense at him. They were offended by him. He did nothing to offend them, but they were offended by him. They did not want to have him. They did not honor him. It tells us here, he was a prophet, and a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and his own home. And so because of that, they also lacked faith. In verse 58, we see here, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Now, there is an application here for us. Do not look down on our humble beginnings. You may later go to a big city. You may later go to another place, or you may later have a bigger job. But do not look down upon your humble beginnings, that little place you began. Do not be offended by the gospel. Do not dishonor God's servant, and do not doubt. Tell you the story. That first summer, went home to my little town. Our youth group, we had a street meeting. We told you it was one traffic light. We pulled a hay wagon at the corner of that one traffic light. Our youth got up and sang songs at the corner there. We had a little street meeting. And I think the first time I ever preached was on that hay wagon, the corner of that little hometown. Stood up and preached a gospel message. And I fumbled through it, very poorly fumbled through it. And then my pastor stood up later, and he, you know, I'm glad he spoke later, because he could clean it up. You know, he could clean it up, and he could share the gospel. And so that was a very humble beginning. That summer I had opportunity maybe preach once a month and to begin to preach as a 19-year-old. It was a very humble beginning. I remember one time after preaching, you know, I'm glad that some of the older people would come and try to encourage you and shake your hand and say, thank you for speaking tonight, or thank you for speaking today to us. And one older lady, I remember this because it's a good reminder. One older lady, she had a good sweetheart. She went up to my brother and thanked him for preaching. She had slept through most of it. You know, it is what God calls us to be, and we have a humble beginning. But the Spirit of Christ's counsel here, the Spirit of Christ give this counsel, go home. Go home. It may be a humble beginning, but go and help where you're needed. Go home. We're talking about T-ball. And I have to tell you this story of what happened in a T-ball game. If any of you know baseball, well, the boy had hit the ball, and he took off running, and they said, run to first base. So he ran to first base, and they said, run to second base. He ran to second base. Run to third base. He ran to third base. And then he came around, and they said, go home, go home. And so he didn't understand what that meant. Go home, go home. So he took off running home and crying. He didn't know what he had done wrong. Home base, if you don't know baseball, that's the fourth base. That's where you come around and you score a run if you don't know baseball. Go home. Go home to your own people. I want you to see here in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Jesus had done a great miracle. In Mark chapter 5, a man who had been demon-possessed for a long period of time, and Jesus healed him, and he cast out the demons. He healed this man. And I want you to look at Mark chapter 5, and look with me here at the end of verse 18. As Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Lord, can I follow you? Can I go in the boat with you? Can I travel with you? I want to be your disciple. And notice what Jesus said to him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell and the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the peoples were amazed. Jesus wants us to follow him, but it may mean that we go home and share with our family and share with our relatives and share with our friends what God has done in our lives. Go home. And they were amazed. Go home. Tell them how much God has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And when you have an opportunity, go home. Be a witness there. I know several of you travel. You have opportunity to travel to your home. And if God gives you the opportunity to go visit relatives or go visit family, pray for that, that you would be able to tell them what God has done for you and to be a witness there in your home. Paul went home. He went to Tarsus where he grew up, but he was different. He was different. You see, Saul, his name was Saul. Saul means big one. They changed his name to Paul. You know what Paul means? Paul means the little one. And so he went home. He was no longer the big shot. He was a little one coming home to share the gospel. Sometimes we grow up in a little town, a little community. We think we're the big shot, the big fish in the pond. And then we go in other ponds and we realize that there's an ocean out there. We're just a little fish. We're just a little fish. The Spirit of Christ also gave them a challenge. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. John chapter 9 and verse 7. Jesus healed this man who was blind. And after he was healed, he washed and he went home seeing. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging along the road asked him, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" And some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man. I am the one." You know, many times we've made a lot of mistakes in our youth. And we left home maybe not in a good condition. And so when we go home, we're now seeing differently. We have a new perspective. He came home believing, and on his way home, sitting on the chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, just like that Ethiopian eunuch. He came home seeing things from God's perspective, came home believing in God's word. Maybe someone left home rebellious. Left home trying to get away from family. And maybe this is a time to go home and to see your family again and to make things right with that family. So here is a message for us to consider. Do you seriously think God can't use you? Sometimes I think we think that. God can't use me. What I have done, the mistakes I have made, God can't use me. Think about this. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old to have children. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused by his brothers. Moses had a speech problem. He stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy, they were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. He said, "Lord, take my life." Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt, lost everything. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious and a persecutor. Now, I'm sure we can find ourselves in one of those. The mistakes we've made, yes, we go back and we may think, how could God ever use me? All the mistakes I've made, how could God ever use me? Well, look at what God has used. These that God has used. So, to encourage is to inspire with courage and with the Spirit and with confidence. May God's Spirit fill us with courage, with confidence. Go home and live out what God has taught you and be inspired and filled with courage to tell others. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, Moses told Joshua. So the book of Acts closes with these words. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. He taught about the Lord Jesus Christ and with all boldness, without hindrance. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what you may be thinking, what God would call you to do, to go home, to go share with your family what God has done in your life, maybe to share with your friends, your relatives. Maybe you're thinking, how could God ever use me? The mistakes I've made. May God's Spirit fill you with courage and confidence today. God can use the broken vessels. God can use those who by grace have turned to God and humbled themselves before God. God can use us not when we're Saul and we think we're big, but when we're Paul and we know we're little. God can use us. And may He fill our hearts with courage and encourage us today. May God encourage us today, we pray. O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to first apologize for not getting to the home base for the second sound and kind of distracted the worship a little bit. I really apologize. Lack of practice, really. But I think we have a mission to tell a story. That's something we always need to practice and so that we can tell it well. So let's all stand up. We'll sing hymn 594 from the hymn book. Turn to 594. We have a story to tell to the nations. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 3. 594. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today we hear this message, that we should be encouraged by your Spirit to tell this wonderful story of your mercy, of your love, of your redeeming power. We thank you that you have worked in the life of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ Jesus. We ask you that after hearing today's message, that we ask you the Holy Spirit will guide us, that when we go back to our workplace, or we go back to our hometown, or wherever we are, that we will have the courage that when there is an opportunity, we'll be brave to tell that story. We'll be brave to share that message. We'll be able to tell what the Savior has done for us. We ask you to give us the courage, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide us, to help us walk in your light. And we will worship you and praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. I didn't see any newcomers today, but we welcome all of you to come to worship today. And some quick announcements. Today we have a special promotional thing we want to show you about the summer retreat on June 9th through 11th. So let us watch the video first. I will turn